All right, let's continue our studies that we started the last time, and we titled it The Birth of a New Generation. And you will remember where we started from. We read from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 2, and there Moses was analyzing the things that happened, and he explained to them that up to the point when he was speaking, he said, now the time that it took for us to come from Kadesh Barnea until we crossed over the brook Zered was 38 years, until all the generation of the men of war perished from within the camp, as the Lord had sworn to them. All right? Now, the point I just made there is that what God was saying is that there was a generation, and that generation could not take the promised land. I explained in detail last week, and I wanted to bear it in mind, that it's an issue with generations and their ability to take a promised land. That is, if God wants to give people something, that there are times that they cannot receive it. I explained something last week and I should emphasize it again. And that's the fact that God is kind. He does not make mistakes. I said, even when he's punishing people, it is not just because of anger. It's because of the knowledge and the vision of the total picture. If you read a lot of, during the, that's in the Old Testament, you see God will command Saul to go and utterly destroy the Amalekites. He will tell you that when you enter that land, kill everybody, make sure that there is nobody that you leave there that is alive. And his reason is not because of personal anger towards the people, but because he has seen that no matter what you do, these people cannot, they are no longer redeemable. Is, you know, that's one message I hardly preach for certain reasons. There are people you can't tell. Let me just say that you and I cannot place our hands and say this person is irredeemable. But there are actually people who are walking around on the earth, and God has judged them irredeemable. I will tell you this, and it sounds like a surprise to you. By the time Judas entered into the ministry of Jesus, the Lord had judged him irredeemable. By the time Pharaoh was going to become Pharaoh, the one that persecuted the children of Israel, who the Bible says that there arose a Pharaoh that did not know Joseph. God had judged that Pharaoh was irredeemable. And Paul said that what happens that God was enduring the vessels of wrath that were kept for destruction. Why did he endure them? It's because he said in Proverbs that God has made everything for a purpose, even the wicked man for his role in the day of destruction. Now, please, you cannot go around judging who's redeemable or not. You don't know the heart of man. Do you understand my point? Yeah, that's just how God is. So when God looks and says, these people, they cannot be redeemed, what are you going to do about them? Then he goes ahead and he destroys. I remember last week I analyzed the issue of Sodom and Gomorrah, that when Abraham was praying, he was actually showing us the mind of God, how God reasons. That God had looked and said, if I find 50 righteous people, I will not come and destroy. If I find 10, I will not come and destroy. That I couldn't find 10 righteous people is a sign that that land or the people upon that land can no longer be redeemed. So he destroyed all of them, and the few righteous people, relative, because it's what I call righteousness in your generation. I preached that on radio some time ago. That in each generation, there's what the Bible calls righteousness in your generation, in which a man is outstanding above that which is common. Now, you have to be careful as Christians. That's where God wants us to step into. Jesus will tell you that except your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, the few people, that's Lot and his family, that were righteous in the eyes of God in that generation, God pulled them out and he liquidated every other person. And I said the reason is because where God is taking people to, there are those who cannot enter it because of the state of their heart. And if we are going to be blessed, take our nation as an example. If God is going to bless this nation, the first thing that he will do is to bring forth a new generation. I remember something, I told you I heard myself say something on radio once. I was just listening to the old messages I had preached. That before the blessing of God comes, the first thing he does is he releases his word. And what is he trying to do? He's trying to bring forth a new generation by the release of that word. He wants people to change their hearts, because until you have become a part of that new generation, you cannot enter into the promise of God. And that's why we refer to severally 2 Corinthians chapter 7. It says, seeing that we have these promises, therefore, let us cleanse ourselves of all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Please quickly go there. I think it's important we look at it. Chapter 6 and verse 14. It said, do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? And what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? or what has the believer in common with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? He said, for we have the we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and they will, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate. And do, now, please, I want you to notice that I will walk in them and walk among them. The new generation are the people that God is walking in and walking among. He said, they will be my people while I am their God. For that reason, the Lord said, come out from their midst. What is their midst? I will discuss that one today. Coming out from their midst and be separate. He said, and do not touch what is unclean. There are things that we encounter every day and they are unclean. And God said, don't touch that thing. It is unclean. He said, and I will be, welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me. Now, if you see, the next verse says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. What is he saying? If you are going to step into the kingdom of God, if you are going to inherit the promises that God has given to you, the first thing you must do is to cleanse yourselves of all defilement. Because he said, what is defilement? There are things that people touch that are unclean. That's what he called defilement. These are the things that defile the flesh. And he said, the first thing is you step out from the midst of those who trade in those things, from the midst of those who settle on those matters, in which that is their lifestyle. He said in Psalm 1, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, or stands in the way of sinners. I hope I'm not mixing it up too much. He said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. That is, you must separate yourself from the counsel of the wicked if you are going to cleanse yourself of defilement. Now, I'm trying to bring out something. Now, so what God does is that he first sends his word. Because what washes us is the washing of water by his word. The deliverance that we need from the world is the washing of water by God's word. You know, I like one thing. If you listen to the message that Chike preached that day in church, what he shared, I said something that we go through a process. He said that we are being washed. He said, in the last few years, my brain has been corrected by the word of God. I noticed those statements because that's how it works. There are many things that God wants to bring people into. The first thing he does is to cleanse them by the washing of water, by the word. What is he doing? He's removing that which is unclean. The problem with things that are unclean, they are like bacteria. You know, they are like infectious agents. They spread death into the perfect thing that God wants to give to you. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? And that's why number one, what you do is to cleanse yourself of that which is imperfect. Listen, God made the earth, made everything perfect. If you read Ecclesiastes chapter 7, he said, this I have also found out, that God made men upright, but they sought out many devices. That is, whatever God does is designed to be forever. Do you understand what I'm going to say? It's designed to endure. But the problem is that people forsake the order of God and they put uncleanness into the thing. Please, I hope you are getting my point. Now, we'll develop all those things later. What I want to emphasize, however, again, is the fact that before God blesses people, he first spreads his word into them. Do you get my point? He said, and the earth, he said, they shall not hurt in all my holy mountain. We're describing the things that God will do. He said, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. Now, it is those who the knowledge of God that entered into their hearts that will be able to step into the new thing that God wants to do. Are you getting my point? So we're talking about our nation, Nigeria, as an example. Very good example. You know, I really thank God for my life. When I say thank God for my life, things I have seen, things I have experienced, and being born in Nigeria that helped me to understand the things of God properly. Do you follow what I mean? That you see a transition, that God wants to birth a new thing on the earth. The first thing he does is to birth a new generation of people. It's when he has birthed a new generation of people that they will be able to enter into the promised land and not before that. Do you get my point? You cannot carry the old habits and carry them into the promised land. No, it doesn't work. What he said is that if you want to pour out new wine, you must use new wineskin. That you cannot sew a piece of new cloth onto an old unshrunk cloth. He said you will destroy both of them. If you pour new wine into an old wineskin, the old wineskin will burst and you will lose both the new wine and the wineskin. So God doesn't want to bring, all right, a new thing, a good thing and have it inhabited by the old generation of people, what will happen is that they will destroy the new and destroy themselves in the process. So if God wants to bless us, he said, first, I call a new generation of people out. Do you follow what I mean? And that's what we're talking about, the birthing of a new generation. You are following me, right? Okay, I just wanted to recap some of the things that we have said and see how it will affect what we are going to say today. Now, to begin today's message, that's just a review. To begin today's message and to continue from where we stopped, I want us to open our Bibles to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. It said, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit which is now working in the sons of disobedience. Now please notice, amongst them you too all formerly lived in the lusts of the flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." That is, the things you were doing made you absolutely subject to the wrath of God. He said, however, verse 4, "God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions," or if you have King James, he says trespasses, "he made us alive together with Christ." He said, "and he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Now, what I want to bring out from there, let me just quickly explain it. There are other things further down. But what I want to bring out from there is the issue of the fact that he was writing to believers, and he was describing what they were, all right? He said, you were dead or subject to spiritual death, inside, under the reign of death, because of your sins and trespasses. And he said, in these sins and trespasses, you formerly walked according to the course of this world. What I want to bring out from there is that there is a course that this world is walking. And he said, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now walking in the sons of disobedience. Please, that's what I want to teach today. I'm talking about coming out from amongst them and being separate. He said, there is a course that this world is walking, that is a way in which they are walking, a direction that they are following. That's number one. And that this is energized, listen to this, by the plan of the prince of the power of the air. All right? And what this prince does is to spread a spirit. Now, that's what I want to bring out. It spreads a spirit, and that spirit walks in the sons of disobedience. Please follow me. This actually my main message for today is being picked from here. I want to explain something about spiritual walking. I've said this again and again, that Christians sometimes misunderstand the way things are. They wrongly focus their energy. People stay up all night. What they want to pray about, what? Witches and wizards, people who are afflicting them. Unfortunately, a lot of the people praying against witches and wizards are cooperating with those witches and with those wizards. Do you understand what I'm saying? In the way by which they are walking. What they don't understand is that the major problem is not the witch you claim is disturbing you, which of course you know most times there's no witch. Nobody has your time, actually. You think everybody... No, you see, life is so hard that most people are so focused on their own issues that they don't have most people, other people's time. Now, of course, I know there are people like that. There are evil people. Please, let me just say that. Now, so I'm just trying to emphasize something. There are people who focus so much on their enemies, they don't really realize where their problem is. Are there problems out there? Yes, most certainly. But the main problem is not the one most people are chasing. Jesus said something that, I know there is a devil out there. I know that there is a prince of this world. He said, and I know he's coming. He said, but there's nothing he can do to me. He said, he has nothing in me. That is, before he can do anything, there must be something inside me that he can lay hold on and say, this one is my own. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm trying to say. No, what I'm saying is so important. This is how the world is. I want to try and explain it. There is a curse of this world, and there is a prince of the power of the air. Now, what does the prince of the power of the air do? It spreads a kind of spirit, and that's what I want to explain. Now, the people who are fighting witches, fighting wizards, fighting Satan, they are drinking of the spirits of the prince of the power of the air. Now, please, let me explain what I'm saying further. How many of you have read this book? You know, if you don't read, there will be a lot of things you don't know. Do you understand? Please, make it a habit. Always read something. Always read. Always read. All right? Now, Rick Joyner's book, Final Quest, is a book I think every Christian should read. It was a prophetic message, and I believe it was addressed to the whole body of Christ. Therefore, everybody should read it. It's called The Final Quest. Now, in that book, Rick Joyner described a spirit that you see, an evil spirit is riding on one person, and it's pouring its effect upon people. Now, let me explain the meaning of that word spirit again. Now, when we use the word spirit, a lot of times people don't, they think the spirits are always personalities. They are not always personalities. The word spirit, as a matter of fact, is used, all right? That word spirit is used to describe individuals, usually when you feel their effect and you can't see them. He will tell you that he makes his ministers spirits, all right? And his messengers what? Flames of fire. That is talking about the angels of God. That you can't see them, but you can feel their effect. That's why I use the word spirits to describe them. It will tell you that God is spirit, literally, all right? God is in the spiritual realm, he was saying. And those that worship him, will worship him in spirit and in truth. I'm going to explain something here. That when we use the word spirit, actually, is not personalities we describe most of the times. We use it applied to describe personalities. So you talk about somebody having an evil spirit. Do you understand my point? So you can't see the individual affecting him. There is a dethroned angel and a disembodied angel that is afflicting the person, a messenger of Satan, but you can't see him. So you say he has an evil spirit. I'm trying to bring out something. But the word spirit, most of the times in the scriptures, is used actually to describe the power that is exerted that we can feel. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. So it is possible for one person. Now listen to this. You find out that one man is there and he's pouring a spirit upon people. I was watching something the other day, that was just yesterday and the day before, about the issue in Iraq. And Americans, of course, they are planning to leave Iraq because you know that their presence is an issue in Iraq. So they're trying to see how they can pull out of Iraq, but then have a long, an agreement that will spread over a long time, allowing them to have military bases inside Iraq. And all the Iraqis are disagreeing. They will not agree. And people are out protesting. Why are they protesting? I'm bringing up something. There's one Islamic cleric that's very influential. Do you understand? And simply he said, protest. And that's it. Everybody's out protesting. Ask an average person, what are you protesting about? We don't know. But Mohammed Al-Wasada, I forgot his proper name, how to pronounce his proper name. He said, we should protest. And they're out there. What has he done? He has poured a spirit of protest into the people. I don't know whether you're getting my point. No matter what you say, the guy will continue protesting because he's subject to that spirit that man is pouring forth. Please, what I'm saying is very important. That's why Jesus will tell you about my sheep that know my voice, all right? And the voice of a stranger, they will not obey. Now, listen, you know, where was I preaching? I said this thing, that you must be moved by something. There's nobody on this earth that just gets up and says, this is what I want to do. No, really. What you do is that you expose yourself to influences. Do you follow my point? You expose yourself to influences. That message I told that Chike preached on Sunday in church, there was something he said to me that for me was so significant. He said, the first time he came to this church, not here, of course, our church, the Ward House, and he was saying that he heard somebody preach, that was Larry. And Larry said something. He said at the end of the day, he went to go and meet Larry and said, like, look, this thing you said, now, please listen to this. So the first time he heard, he said, these guys are lunatics. Something was wrong with them. But then he told himself that, well, I have been sane and I have not progressed. Do you understand my point? Maybe I should listen to these lunatics and they will be able to help me. Now, are you following what I'm saying? They now went to Larry and talked to him, and the man spoke to him. Now, listen to what I'm trying to say. That's why words are so powerful. You may want to succeed until somebody... Now, you know what to do, but sometimes you phone somebody and ask the person, what should I do? And then the person tells you what to do. You will tell him, I knew that's what you say. I just wanted to hear you say it. Why? Because you need the power to move you to do that which you know is right. Are you getting what I'm saying? And that's the way life is. Something will always move you. What you do for yourself. For example, you are here today. You are listening to me. There are few things in life you can do better than being present at a place like this. To get up. Leave every other thing you are doing to go and be present in where the word of God is being taught is the greatest thing you can do for yourself in life. Why? Because the life of the believer is not the life of struggle. It's a life that is energized by the power of God. That if God says something, he doesn't advise people. What does he do? He empowers them. He said, neither do I condemn you. go and sin no more. There is a power in that word that will help that person not sin anymore. Are you getting my point? Now, well, I'm talking about the word spirit. So people are always moved by something. Now, what moves people, all right, is that thing I'm talking about. That there is a spirit. That's what the Bible calls spirit. You will get to a place, they'll say, these people are very materialistic. And is a people. Is a whole set of people. They'll say, these people are wicked. Let me give you an example. You know, I told you that one day I was watching one of these movies made about Moses, the Exodus, you know. And along the line, now, I have seen that the Bible says that Amalek will be destroyed. And the reason was because of the sin they committed against the children of Israel when they were coming down from the promised land. But something struck me in that movie. They were trying to depict the kind of people that the Amalekites were. That you will find out that in this movie, what happened? They will suddenly see some migrating Jews, all right? They are dead. Their goods have been plundered. And Moses will get there, bow down, look at the corpses and say, Amalekites. Do you understand my point? That they were very good with sneaking in from behind, preying on the weak people. Are you getting my point? And all the Amalekites are like that. Now, let me tell you something. All of them were like that. How do you know? God destroyed all of them. If they were not all like that, God wouldn't destroy them like that. Now, I know what I'm saying. Now, maybe not every one of them would have gone on such escapades. But in their hearts, they are all like that. They prey on the weak. They are very wicked people. You get to a place, they will say that everybody here is selfish. And that's the way they are. You get to a place, people here are very generous. Now, I said something before that, please, let's be careful as Christians when we are judging things. Now, what I mean is this. There are people who tell you that, don't mind, these things are barbaric. Those are those days. Things like that don't happen anymore. The man talking, he doesn't have any power helping him. Let me give you an example. You say that, look, you can't marry from here, you can't marry from there. You ask your parents, why can't I marry from here? You say, these people are like this. People will say that, why do you judge everybody by one particular standard? I mean, I've said that in the past, but I don't say such things anymore. It's rather nonsense. The truth is that when they said that, they are not lying. Now, please, I'm coming to something. In fact, I don't know whether this one will be right. I don't watch movies much, all right? I watch few movies, and I hardly watch new ones. Most of the time, I watch the ones I watched before. There's a movie we had in my house. I won't tell you the name of the movie so that you won't go and, because of me, go and watch it, you know, that kind of thing. You say, oh, this is the movie Pastor Banky was talking about. Let me see the movie. No, I won't tell you the name. At the point in time, my wife says, you go and break the CD so that she started seeing it. All right? It's a mafia movie. There are movies I like. I love Chinese films. Yes, people always laugh when I say it. They say that the films don't make sense. You just start fighting. You don't understand. It's a fight I came to watch. I didn't come to watch the sense. I came to watch the fight. Fight over what I watch. I love Chinese films. And for me, a lot of those things is funny, but they're spiritual, you know. People will say that. I'm telling you, people say that, is it possible? This is not possible. What I see is different, you know. You see one single man attack 200 people and fight and fight and fight and fight. I say, it's a joke. I say, read the Bible. The Bible is also a joke. It's in the Bible. The men of David, one man defend a field of lentils against 300 men. Fight. No, one man. It's in the Bible. He said, no, those things are not necessarily jokes. There was one I saw, a friend of mine said, you like Chinese, so he sent me one. There are things I see, you know, maybe beyond what everybody else is saying. You will see the way the guys prepare. You will know that this one, people are shallow. Those guys were deep. So I apart from their fight, I watch other things. I see the way one person prepares to fight and then how he tackles 50 people. And those days we say, na photo trick. But I found out that photo tricks, do you follow, are born of real stories. Do you get what I'm saying? In fact, I know I'm digressing, but we learn a lot when I digress. You've heard of Greek mythology. You know, they talk about Hercules, one man who single-handedly did this. They talk about Achilles. Talk about all those things. Those things are not jokes. People think that they are Greek stories, all right? But those people actually lived. Don't think they are jokes. And there are Bible records that show that they lived. Listen to me. When you hear of Og of Bashan, what do you think those people were? Those giants, the Bible will talk about those were the renowned men of old. It's in the Bible. No, it's not a joke. Now, the story may not be accurate anymore. All right? But you hear that a whole man defended, one single man defended the whole city. It's not a joke. It's not a lie. It really happened.
Those were the giants that the Israelites had to face and destroy. Why do you think the Israelites ran? That anyway, let me not digress what I'm going to say. So, this is like, I like some strange movies. Sometimes I like watching mafia movies also, for certain reasons also. Anyway, but this particular one, all right? In it, one girl wanted to marry a guy from a rival clan. You know what I mean? Family. And the girl said, the father said simply, these people are not good people. And the girl said, you judge him without even meeting him. And the father said, I don't have to meet him. I know his father. And of course, let me cut the long story short. If you read, if you watch the full version of the movie, most of the ones circulating around is the detailed one. I saw the full one. You find out that the man was right. I know it's a movie, but it's based on truth. The man was right. The boy was just as bad as his father. It's just that he had not yet fully manifested. Are you getting my point? So people tell you that, people from area, they're like this. They're like this. They are not lying. Those things are based on truth. You hear that, if you go to this area, the people here, they don't take marriage serious. But you love the guy so much. Your stomach doesn't settle. If you eat food, doesn't digest until it shows up. Oh boy, it does not in any way reflect what is inside the heart. Even he may not know it's there. Because there's what the Bible calls the spirit, the prince, there's what he calls the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that walks in the sons of disobedience. It's a spirit. It's lying there, dormant. So I said that, look, so don't shout and say, this is barbaric. Remember the story I told? They said that, how can you marry from this area? There are people who are cursed. He said, it doesn't matter. Listen to me, it matters. Because if I had walked up to you and told you this is the son of Gehazi, do you want to marry? You will see yourself, you change your mind. Because remember that Elisha said, the leprosy of Naaman is their portion. You follow what I'm going to say? Now, so I want, because sometimes people argue on premises that don't make sense. When you want to argue, you must have a sound premise. What is my premise? My premise is simple. If a man in the world says that it's okay by him, by me, what I am angry with is when a believer says it. Because for the Christian, the Bible says, if any man being in Christ is a new creature, all things, the curses on Gehazi, they are passed away and everything has become new. Do you get what I'm going to say? That is why, as a Christian, I don't get up and say something is barbaric. No. It's ignorant people who have not yet tapped into the realm of the spirit that cause some things barbaric. You can be a Harvard professor. Yourself, Harvard, now who says barbaric? Ask him, Oga, when last did you go to the village? He says barbaric. Ask the Harvard man, when last did he go to his village? He knows that something they there. He knows. He's just pretending. But I can go anywhere. I can go anywhere. Because the he that dwells in me is greater than he that dwells in the world. I can go anywhere. Because I'm seated on the right hand of the throne of God with Christ Jesus. I can go anywhere. Because my life is hid with Christ in God. I can go anywhere. I dare any witch that wants to die to try me. I'm not saying it's barbaric. I am saying power past power. Do you get my point? That's it. So, when we are talking, when I say the people from here are not good people, I'll say, Daddy, this one is a Christian. You see, that's, we don't understand the word Christianity. We think Christianity is about going to church. No, people should hear the name Christian and instantly know that the case is different. And listen to me, let me tell you, saints of God, that's what God wants to do with your life. That is, it becomes a story. He said, no, my daughter, you can't marry from here. You know the men from there. They are wicked. They are like this. They are like that. You now say, but mommy, this one is a Christian. The moment she hears it, she just remember that, that was what we said about Mr. ABC 15 years ago. But look at it. He has become a good man. He's the best husband that any girl in this village has married. And we remember then they told us he's a Christian. Can you remember? So that the moment she hears he's a Christian, she pulls back a bit and says, well, if you say so, sharp, but, you know, she now start looking for another story. But instantly, when she hears this one is a Christian, something should spark. Listen, my friends, that's what Christianity is about. What am I going to explain? I'm trying to use that one to explain the meaning of the word, the prince of the power of the air and the spirit that works in the sons of disobedience. That's why you hear that people like this are like are this way. And it appears like every one of them you meet, that's the way they are. Because actually, in life, there are princes. Did you hear what I said? There are what? Princes. I can tell you something. There is a prince whose name is corruption that reigns in Nigeria. You see your brother? The Cameroon. They are about the same rank. You see them everywhere. Let me explain something. You get to some of these European countries, they don't believe in God. The average person on the streets will tell you they don't believe in God. But this has been done. You drop money on the floor, nobody steals it. The only person that touches it takes to the police station. That's why I've heard Christians, people tell me that. I don't understand people's Christianity. Everybody goes to church, but the country is just worse than there's ever been. I don't understand Christianity. These white people don't believe in God, but they are very nice people. They say things like that. We don't have all the time to start analyzing, but let me give you a bit of insight. They are not lying. But what happened is that before now, all right, their fathers drove away all those kind of spirits. The spirits have not rebuilt in those places. The average person there does not understand why he should steal. It's not because he's righteous or he's wicked, but there's no force pushing him towards stealing. It takes a while to enthrone it again. That's the summary. So everywhere he goes, there's what they call the prince of the power of the air. It will manifest in other areas. But that spirit of stealing and corruption is just not there. Now listen to me. It's not as if he's strong and he's well trained. But the fact is that the activity of that spirit is not strong in his area. But you get down to Nigeria. Ah, God. The spirit bomb Pekin. Put all of them on, in service in Nigeria. I say, a few of you go and help my cousin in Cameroon. I leave some in Pakistan. All right? A lot of them are in India. But it colonized a lot of Asian and African countries. So that everywhere you go, it's just there. You know, the people don't try. You have to work against that spirit. I'm coming to something. We have to understand this. Because I said, don't forget, to inherit promises, generations must change. Do you get my point? What God does is to build an ark. All right? Because he's going to judge. He has to do that because he looks and says, these ones are irredeemable. The only solution to those who are irredeemable is destruction. And before he does that, he pulls out the people who he can redeem that seem to apparently belong to, at least chronologically now, to the time of that previous generation. So what we are preaching to people, all right, is that for them to inherit God's promises, they must be baptized, in quotes, all right, by the washing of water by the word, washing out away their old nature and bringing them into a particular new generation. You are getting the point I'm making. So I'm trying to explain this principle. So you find out that the prince is out there. What is pouring out is that spirit that's working in the sons of disobedience. So you see, the man is not trying to be disobedient. All right? It's just inside him. People have told me before that Muslims can die for their religion. I say, you know, you say such things because you don't understand the power of spirits. No suicide bomber does it out of dedication, not one. None. There is a spirit that is inside them. Professor Ayo Benitez says something. He's a psychiatrist, was a lecturer when I was in university. He said that, he wrote it actually, that Africans hardly commit suicide. Hardly. Hardly. The spirit, no. I'm giving you theology about it now. The spirit is not active amongst Africans. Commit suicide. For what? Commit suicide. Instead of commit suicide, they kill somebody else. Why should they commit suicide? But, white man, stock price drop, he ain't go jump. Woman, divorce him, he go shoot. You see some kind, nah, that's not a joke. There is a spirit called suicide. Listen to me. All these things you see in the world, all these evil you find here and there, they have spirits that bear those names. That is, if you were to get down to the conference room of Satan, and you say, Mr. Devil, you say, how are you? He said, please, what's that guy's name? He said, his name is Corruption. They don't have any other name. That's it. It's angels that you start finding names like Gabriel, Michael. Demons bear their foolish actions by name. That is, he said, what is your name? He said, my name is Mother. That is, no armed robber goes out if I don't send him. No, that's the way it is. Now, what is the story of Rwanda and Burundi? A man who has never hurt a fly gets up and kills his neighbor. And you think it's not a spirit. When the spirit departs, the guy wakes up. Let me tell you about the power of spirits. I must explain this thing. And that's why I was sharing this with my wife. Okay, no, I didn't even tell her this. It was something we're discussing. Counseling, you know, some people and all that. Something we're discussing. I was supposed to tell her this. I forgot. That you see, spirits, they can put pressure on people. That when the person departs, when the spirit departs, the person will wonder, why did I do that? When Amnon was going to rape Tamar, remember the story? The guy said, I love Tamar so much, I can't eat. It was a spirit. Look, listen. What happened was that there was a judgment upon the house of David. So to incite problem, a spirit lashed onto that young man's brain. Listen to me. The spirit of lust for that girl gripped his head. As soon as he did his work, he left. Suddenly the guy woke up and the Bible says that another spirit replaced it. I'm adding my own words now. That suddenly he hated her with more hatred than the love with which he loved her. What does that tell you? This is an ordinary eye. Put pressure. Look, put that young man under so much pressure. As soon as the spirit of lust left, the spirit of hatred jumped into his head. The guy looked at the girl and said, I will kill you if you don't get out of here. This is a girl who 5 minutes ago, you will die if the king doesn't let you marry her. Oh God. Listen with the issue. Life is very spiritual. Very, very. Very, very spiritual. I hope you're getting my point. I want us to understand this. So that when you see things, don't be angry, with human beings. It's not them. Jesus looked and said, Father, forgive them. What is the point? They don't know what they are doing. Remember what I said? No, we turned into a joke. This is the devil's work. Satan pushed me. I said, listen, brethren, Satan pushes people. How do you know? The Bible said after Judas finished eating with Jesus Christ, Satan entered him. Gave him the strength to go and betray Jesus Christ. It was hard. Do you follow what I'm going to say? Now, that activity, he said, is working in the sons of disobedience. But let's talk about the Christian. He said, amongst them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, that is, because of these works, naturally, we were children of wrath, even as the rest. He said, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we're dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. All right? He said, by grace, you have been saved. Now, what am I trying to explain? That take that corruption matter as an example. The Bible says that, now I've explained that what is empowering it, we can't hide from it, is called the prince of the power of the air. Are you getting the point? Now, the interesting part is that sometimes, if you read this book, The Triumphant Church, it's a good book also by Kenneth Hagin. So people will get up and they begin to pray, casting out spirits, from the heavenlies and all of that. He said it's a useless prayer. It's a waste of time. And I agree with him. And my reason is because they always have a strength to stay where they are. You can't by voice drive them away if there's an anchor that's keeping them. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Let me give you an example. I read a book some time ago. Rebecca Brown, yes. She talked about the girl that they were delivering and all of that. And this girl kept on, the demons wouldn't go away. Now, please, let me say something.
Be careful how you build doctrines on experiences. We use experiences to explain the written word of God. We don't rewrite the written word of God because of somebody's experience. Do you understand my point? Uh-huh. But anyway, in that book, she explained some things. One of the things she explained is the fact that they kept on delivering this lady. They will cast out the demons through the window. They will come back through the roof. Then they will build spiritually. It was a lot of gymnastics. Now, be careful when you are following people. Sometimes people are doing things, they don't know what they are doing. Yinka gave me this man's book, Pat Robertson. A lot of people read that story and want to do what Pat Robertson did. And you won't know that half of the story, the man showed to me that he was a child taking actions. No, really. If you had a little bit of spiritual understanding, you know that half of the things he did were wrong. And he's not saying they were right. He's just narrating that that's what he did. Do you follow my point? It was born out of immaturity. Period. Spiritual immaturity. So be careful when you are copying things. So he says spiritually, they will build a wall. Then the demons will find out that there's one door in the spirit they didn't close. Then they will jump in through there. Then they'll start praying. The demons will all vanish. Then they will spiritually, in the realm of the spirit, they will close the door and see in the vision that the door has been closed. And they are rejoicing. They are rejoicing. They find that there's a leaking roof and the demons have passed through the leaking roof. Then they will drive out the demons. And then spiritually, they will block the leaking roof. And then they will see in the realm of the spirit that the roof has been repaired. And they'll start rejoicing. There's only saying that the doors didn't reach the floor and the demons have crawled in under the door. Then spiritually, they will drive out these demons and block the crack in the door. After a while, she told her, when she had gotten exhausted, she said, wait, something must be going on here. Okay, confess. What are these demons looking for, self? Do you follow my point? What was it? The truth is that the girl had the power. She had given her life to Christ. She hadn't left the power alone. Why did she hold? It was his demonic power. It was like, this is my property, and Satan wouldn't leave it alone. This other girl would be exerting energy, trying to drive them away. But they kept coming back. Why? Because they had property there. It was, I don't know, I can't remember, I read it quite a while ago. And I've used it to explain some things before. Now, it was a kind of spiritual energy she had. She knew how to do some things. I've forgotten exactly what now. And she had held it as her last line of defense. If the spirits came after her, she was planning to fight back. And she held on to it and claimed that she had given her life to Christ. Now, she wasn't a bad person, she just didn't know better. And then by word of knowledge that God revealed it to the other lady who was praying and then confronted her with it, and she realized that it was the truth. Do you follow what I mean? And then she now demanded her to relinquish that power, and she didn't agree for a while. Now, I told the story to let you understand that you don't just get up and, spirit of corruption, we cast it out. No. You know where we start? We start in people. Now, I pray that God will give me understanding on how to connect this. We start with what? People. Because as long as the people hold on, are you getting me? To certain things in their hearts, the spirit that's in the air cannot go. You know, I said something some time ago. Let me just as an example again. Well, a brother asked me a question. He was referring to a message, actually, that Bishop Oyedepo preached, and who said that demons don't come to church. That what was Bishop saying? That people gather and say, before we start, let us cast out all demons out of this arena. He said, demons don't come to church. That the church is a gathering of believers. That if you have seen demons in church, something's wrong with your eyes. That the church is a gathering of the saints. That demons don't come to church. Now, so one brother asked me and said that there was this book he read, we all read the book, in which Ken Hagin pastored a church. And he said it was the driest, that was a church which, if he mounted the pulpit, before he will start praying, he will feel this anointing to preach the part. No matter how hard he tries, the message will just not flow. Are you getting my point? It will strain, the message will not flow. No matter what, the message wouldn't go. After a long time, he left the church, all right, and walked away. And another pastor came. And the pastor was wondering, how come this church is so cold that nobody can pray? So the pastor took time out and began to pray. And he was praying and praying and praying. And then one day, as he was praying, he looked up. And it's as if the ceiling disappeared. and he saw a demon sitting on the roof of the church. And that was the problem. Does the brother remind me of that story? Now listen to this. So that man cast out the demon. The demon ran away. The demon first fell down. Then he chased the spirit out of the church and told the guy to disappear. Finally, the guy ran down, entered one drinking joint further down the road. The following night, the place burnt down. These things are real. I mean, not a joke. The following night, the place burnt down. So, brother was asking me that. But that demon was in church. Now, I told the story to spark your thinking. Now, what was the guy doing in church? Was he in church? Number one, he was in the roof of the church. He was not in church, actually. He was in the roof of the church. It's a world of difference. But this is the point. Was he really in church or was he in church? That's not the issue. Now, I told you something about spirit. It was one evil spirit. One. But now, I hope I'm not mixing my stories, but my message will still be clear. He said, how come that thing got there? You ask yourself, because that's what Christians don't understand. They get a bit fearful. Can the evil spirit just come and like now say, okay, Pastor Banky will not preach again to these people. And the demon will come down and suddenly I can't preach again. I will tell you a number of things to you because you have to be careful. I'm talking about birthing the birth of a new generation. Because one of the things we must do is to make sure that evil spirits don't enter into the camp. They destroy things. They do. But what I want to explain is the way they enter. Actually, Peter says you don't give room to the devil. Do you know the reason? You have to open a door for it to enter. Now, if I'm not mixing up my stories, that was a church in which people used to sit in groups. The family of Israel and all his supporters would be on this side. All those support Olusemeka and Chukwubike, they will be on this side. You see people in camps. Do you get my point? Now, that spirit of division amongst the brethren is what invites such spirits to sit on their roofs. I don't know whether you get the point. See, yesterday, I went to teach at Newe. And I taught to the students. When I started, I knew this lecture was a bad lecture. For me, secular lecturing, I teach pathology, is a spiritual exercise. No, that's for me. For me, I impart a spirit of understanding to you when I enter the class. It's not just by talk. Do you follow my point? No, really. It's just my assignment. So I entered the class. I started talking. Number one, I had to raise my voice a bit. One, the class they used was wrong. Number two, because they had a bit of ambient noise. For the first time I started teaching them, I removed my jacket because I said I was too hot. I looked for where to hang it. Nowhere. Put it on my seat and sat on it, on the stool. And I thought and thought. At the end of the day, I knew nobody learned anything. Just that I had to just finish the lecture. After I finished, I called the class captain. I said, come. From now on, I'm not taking lectures at 12 o'clock. The lecture was like 1. So I had 1. The people had been in class continuously since 8 o'clock. Now, I'm coming to something. I told the class captain, I said, I know when you are not connecting. Look, most lecturers come, maybe they dictate their notes, explain a few points and walk out. I'm not like that. I connect with my students. In fact, in Enugu here, as a rule, my students are not allowed to write when I'm talking. Because I have a rule. You must connect with me. Do you understand? If you write while I'm talking, all right, I kick you out of my class. My reason is simple. You must connect with me. When I go to other places to give lectures and the people write, for certain reasons I permit them, I also have another rule. You don't ask questions if I see that you are a copying person. If there's any question, we'll put up in hand. I say, no, you don't talk. All you've been doing is copying. Now, please, I'm trying to get a principle out to you here. That you see, for me, I it's not just about delivering a lecture and walking away. Now, I know when the thing is flowing. I know when it's not flowing. So I told his class captain, I said, look, this thing wasn't flowing. I know people didn't learn anything. They knew they didn't learn. And I told them, I know they hide. I said, obviously, today we have wasted each other's time. When I'm teaching normally, I feel this thing dropping. I can feel it. Today, as I will speak, the spirit will leave me. It will hit their faces. It bounce back, enter my ears, enter into my brain, stay there again. I knew the thing was not going anywhere. Now, what I'm trying to explain, what's the reason? Why was it like that? It's simple. They were tired in their hearts. Please. Oh, God. As you are talking, the hearts had left the class. Do you follow what I'm saying? Their spirits were no longer there. It's not their fault. I mean, they needed to take a rest. Now, see, let me say something to you. It's not just about being physically tired. It's when you are physically tired, there's what the Bible calls weariness of the soul. That is, the soul also goes with it. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Yes. So, when you come and you're supposed to receive something, you can't anymore. I remember when someone was in school, there was somebody that when he would come to preach, he loved this demonstration of spiritual things. He loved it. And he will preach and will be there for a long time more. So, one particular day, he organized a program. That particular day, everybody said, who's preaching? His brother so and so. Oh God, he will go come up for fellowship today. So I still remember one sister, I sent her fellowship. Banky, how are you? I'm fine. We just did there for some time. He said, now wow. Say, this one is this brother ABC that's preaching today. I wonder how it will go come up for fellowship today. The guy arrived. Now, this is a man who normally is full of the spirit and all of that. He arrived. He preached. He wanted to begin. You want to start operations, you know what I'm trying to say? As soon as you will start, I can still remember the feeling. After about 15 minutes of struggling, he took the microphone, closed the meeting, and all of us were like, what? What? Praise God. But I still remember very well how it felt. Afterwards, he met me, he said, I don't understand what happened tonight. But man, the things that were supposed to happen did not happen. In my mind, I said, okay. You were the only one waiting for them to happen. See all these people? They had all gone home. That is, they came with a grumbling spirit. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm trying to say. So that happens. That happens. That's why I tell people, be very careful. There are things you do that opens the door for a kind of spirit. That particular church Kenegi was talking about, that was their problem, the spirit of strife. And let me tell you something about spirits. They don't move alone, evil spirits. They go alone first time. If you walk too hard, they bring more people. He said, what do I mean? Jesus said, when you cast out an evil spirit, what does he do? He goes to gather 7 friends who generally must be more wicked than he is. And that's what spirits do. They open the door. Others rushing. That's what he said, come out of him. The guy grumbled. Jesus said, what is your name? He said, my name is Legion, for we are many. One guy was talking. But he's a commander of plenty. So he had opened the door and put in all his troop. That is why the Bible talks about the root of bitterness springing up, troubling people. Now, that is, the first thing is just bitterness. By the time the bitterness is through, the amount of trouble it has caused, you won't believe it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I'm bringing out something. So you find out that you don't just get up and say, okay, let's cast out this spirit from the air. Let me tell you the truth. You kill it from the root. When Jesus killed that tree, he said, no one will eat of your fruit again. The tree dried from the root. From the root. And now I'm bringing out something. Because what we have, Jesus looked and said, this is an evil and an adulterous generation. Are you getting my point? You find a whole group of people and they will not be able to enter into the promised land. You know, I said that last week. The promised land, they can't step into it. They just can't. Why? Because they have an evil and an adulterous attitude. And this is Nigeria. We have the corruption is just out there. Listen, if you were here on last week, Monday, when Paul was talking about sexual immorality, and he was talking about how those that do such things, talking about sinning against the body and all of that, I analyzed the number of points. I explained then that Paul was describing the sins that leak out spiritual ability. I'm trying to explain something. Just to give you another example, I'll summarize many stories. When Balaam tried to curse the children of Israel and they couldn't be cursed, you know what he did? He told Balak that these people, they are too strong. There's nothing you can, nothing. There's nothing you can do. You know what you do? So those fine girls, they're inside your cities. Say yes. Just spot them. Let them just pass in front of the boys. Just stay the boys up to, to sexual immorality. When they start, don't worry. Then they are meat for you. That's the counsel of Balaam. Their acts of immorality was the thing that opened the door. And that was why God had to, now listen to me. God had to judge those ones rapidly. Because if he didn't, the whole nation was gone. No, please, I'm talking this plenty for you to understand that Satan is
alive and very, 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 working very hard, very active, trying to ensure that you and I are not able to showcase the glory of God that's in our lives. And what does he do? He wants us to be subject to the effects of the prince of the power of the air. Are you getting my point? And there is a spirit that's working because of his work in the children of disobedience. And that's what makes them subject to the wrath of God. And this is one thing about God. Even though we are his children, if we do the works dictated by that spirit, we get the same judgment that the children of disobedience get. That's why I read that he said, come out from amongst them and be what? Separate. The people that God saves in every generation are those, now listen, that are righteous in their generation. Listen, I said something that God wants to bless a nation like ours, not with the kind of people that we are right now. It's impossible. Whatever God has joined together, let no man put asunder. There are some people that God has joined to the fact that they can never take the promised land. Corrupt people like that. The only way God will be able to bless the nation, like we have prophesied that he will. Don't forget what we said about faith as the substance of things hoped for. That when we discover what God wants to do, we prepare for it. Do you understand my point? So first we prophesy those promises. And having those promises, what do the brethren start doing? They start cleansing themselves of all defilement of flesh and spirit. That's what I'm trying to say. That listen, you know, the Christianity that only happens in church and gives the impression that it doesn't affect how we do business is the reason why we will never... You can sow seed for breakthrough from now till the year 2025. All you will experience is breakdown. Listen, every seed you sow, not sown out of selfishness and vainglory, has a reward. But the reward cannot be delivered until there's a purification of the defilement of flesh and of spirit. Are you getting the point I'm making? And what am I teaching? I'm teaching the dynamics, what's really happening. Why God can't bless people, but next thing, that the people that will bring in the blessing of God will be marked by the fact that they have been separated. And what God is doing to believers every day, that they are constantly washed by the water. You will see the bride of Christ. He will tell you that she has washed her garment. Are you getting my point? Listen, let me tell you something. There was something that Paul said here. He said that, among them we two all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh. If you read that book, Choice is Key to Destiny. That was what I explained. That if you are born into a society, there's no... Listen. Except God does an unusual work. Except he does an unusual work. The spirit in that generation will affect you. Now, you find rare circumstances like that. Where John the Baptist is filled with the spirit from his mother's womb. Do you get my point? And God just, you know, his life is just unusual from beginning to the end. You find a few circumstances like that where Jesus Christ is indeed conceived of a virgin and is given birth to, and the Holy Spirit says, this one is my son. And he personally tutors him. Because the responsibility of the father to tutor his son. Are you getting my point? And he personally tutors him, and you see him outstanding from the day he's young. Most of that people is not like that. Your father is a mafia boss. Come on, you are going to be a mafia boy. There's nothing you can do about it. But while you are a mafioso... One day God will come to you and show you the way of truth. That's why I wrote in that book, Choice is Key to Destiny. What I'm trying to explain, look, we're all born into this country. Paul said this is the way it works. All of us all formerly lived in the lusts of the flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind. I'm trying to call Christians to something. That it is important our perspective to life starts changing. You can corrupt anything in the world, you can. I bought a book, The Power and the Glory. It's a story by David Yalop, the same guy who wrote In God's Name, all right? He also wrote a story about the last Pope, Pope John Paul II. So I wanted to see what he had to write. Quite a big volume. So this man and I, our printer, were discussing. So he said that the man was a communist, that he has heard that the man was a communist. I said the man was born into communism. He knew nothing else but communism around him as a form of government. Except that, of course, he was a priest and he believed in God. Do you understand my point? And that when he went to America, he saw how shallow
the Americans lived. Therefore, he had no choice but to reject their capitalism. I don't know whether you're getting my point. So we're analyzing the issue of communism. And I made a point to him. I said, but in reality, let's look at it. That what communism tries to achieve, that there's a lot of it that is actually Christian. What I mean, let me explain what I'm saying. I'm not talking about the rejection of God, but let's say let everybody be equal, let nobody be superior to the other. I said, in reality, if you look at the ideal framework of God, do you understand my point? That's actually what God is saying. That nobody will lack, everybody will do his own portion, that you'll be a body of people who are just committed to the Christ. And that's like that. So that they give everything that they have for the progress of the body. You get my point? That's something similar to what communism tried to do. Except that they miss the point. Again, that's what the problem, they miss the point. Such power can only be infused into people by a spirit. Do you get my point? And this time around, the spirit of God. Otherwise, it will not be a spirit of love. He said, God is love. Satan cannot offer you love. You reject God, you reject love. Therefore, you try to build what only love can build by force. That's why every time people protested, they will send soldiers into the street. Are you getting my point? Yes, because only a spirit of love could build those things. So now, I'm trying to bring out something. So the man and I were now, I explained that point. So he now said that, when I talked about what Christianity is supposed to be, which I said, it may sound, if you don't understand the difference, like communism. He now said that, but that is not what Pentecostals are teaching now. He's a Christian. I say, yes, it is not. He said, they teach capitalism. I said, again, there's a problem with that. That real capitalism was started by Puritans. You know what they call Puritans? Those who, their life now, holy life. So they built the capitalism in America. I was hearing somebody preach about it. And the principle behind their own capitalism is not today. I've seen an advert run by America to show the rest of the communist world how they prospered. And they show a man, tall buildings, skyscrapers, car, everything, and say, come and experience the joys of capitalism. Now, people think capitalism now means have plenty of money, drive flashy cars, cut the long story short, enjoy your life to the maximum. Are you getting my point? That's what people think capitalism now means. But actually, the people who founded it, I heard, that was not what they had in mind. You know what they said? It was this principle of the Bible. The master gave to each according to his ability. Don't say all men must be equal. They must earn the same amount of money. Say no. Let each demonstrate what is able to earn. I don't know whether you get the point. That let the market be free. Let each man go out and work and demonstrate the gifts that is inside him. Do you understand my point? The idea is that to him that has, more shall be given. What's the principle behind that? If you read it, all of them were given one talent each. Do you understand that there are two parables? Now, this second one, each person was given 1 mina each. And one multiplied his own 10 times. One multiplied his own only twice. And one multiplied his own, not at all. Do you understand my point? Now, the one for the man who didn't have was given to the man who had plenty. Why? Because he had demonstrated superior ability to multiply it, to handle it. Are you getting my point? So the principle of capitalism they taught was simple. If you see a man who can make $1 million, then most likely he can make two. And if he can make $2 million, he can make 10. And if he can make $10 million, he can make 50. And if he can manage $50 million, maybe he can make $1 billion. And if he can make $1 billion, why don't you allow him to make $2 billion? Have you seen all of them? I saw Warren Buffett, current richest man in the world, not looking very expensive. I heard he has lived in the same house for almost 30 years. I want to say same house, a normal house. Not he lived in a ranch and he's staying on that ranch, no. This normal, what they call suburbia, you know, suburban house. And he's the current richest man in the world. One day they asked this man, Tom Cruise, what are you wearing? I bought it maybe like this t-shirt. I bought it $40 in the shop. That is. You're expecting to say that, oh, this is a Dolce & Gabbana nonsense. When I want to go, you gotta enter shop like everybody else, buy cloth like everybody, wear cloth like everybody else. Those are real true capitalists. What I'm trying to say is that the idea behind capitalism was not that, okay, be rich, use all the things, and let everybody else be poor. No. If you can handle wealth, we allow you multiply it. They're trying to make everybody equal is to cap the abilities of some other people. Do you understand my point? So let the pastor who can build a church of 10,000 people, let him do it. Let the one that can write
70 books in his lifetime. Let him write it. Let him write them. Are you getting my point? The man who can make $1 billion, let him make it. And that's why till now, Americans will not elect into office if you can't demonstrate what you can do by what you have done before. If Nigerians will just sit down and say, okay, you have been a faithful boy, you'll be the local government chairman. So you see a tout who the only reputation he has is for causing trouble. His father knows he's a troublemaker. The ruler of his village knows he's a troublemaker. Everybody in the community knows he's a troublemaker. You wake up next day, he's the local government chairman. He should tell you that there is a spirit of corruption that has not yet gone away. You know what rich capitalists do? They appoint men who have demonstrated how they manage their abilities. So Michael Bloomberg finishes making hundreds of millions of dollars. He resigns from his company, hands over to somebody else, and becomes mayor of New York. Do you understand my point? There's one pastor like that in America who became governor of the state. He built a church of thousands of people. And then he resigned from being pastor, contested to be governor, and is currently governor. Now, I'm trying to bring out the principle. See that you can see it from outside and insult capitalism. You know, say anything you like about socialism. And at the end of the day, you look and ask yourself, where did this start from? I'm bringing out an issue. It may have been corrupted now. You know, I see a lot of stock market trading people do is pure corruption. Period. Now, recently, one of my guys was telling me about new rules they have in stock market. That for the price of a stock to move a particular level, to move at all, there's a minimum volume of trade that must have been involved. And the money must really change hands. You know what they found out? Some of the guys, you know, if you have been watching the stock market, it's been stagnant for weeks now. Seriously stagnant. Two reasons. One of them, they don't know where Yaradua is going. Number two is that stock exchange, what they call NSE, right? Brought out some stringent rule and SEC. They brought out some serious rules that for a stock price to move, the certain volume must have been traded. The reason that before, you know what guys used to do? You sell to me, I sell to you. The same thing, the one you sold me yesterday, I sell to you today. We'll keep on moving it. Each time the trade moves, its share price climbs up one bit. So two of us will just keep on increasing the price. After a while, we liquidate, we clean out. So you see, people were just making money anyhow. Now, you can take advantage of a good system. What's the issue behind the whole stock exchange? The idea is that you don't have to go to the company. Just buy a bit of it. While you are doing your work, you can allow your money work for you. That's the whole principle. But Satan gets up and corrupts the system. I'm bringing out something, please. Talking about building a new generation. All right? One of the things, as an example, you'll have to do. One guy, one of my brethren in the Lord, said to me one day, he said, there are times, no matter how much money you tell him there is to make in this thing, if he looks at the company, he doesn't know what they are doing, he doesn't know where they are going, he's not persuaded about their real value, he doesn't pay a dime. If you tell him that you can make 50 million naira, I say, I don't want. It's called coming out from amongst them and being separate. Please, I'm trying to explain something. So you find out that there's a spirit in the air. Take this capitalism as an example. It was founded upon certain principles. Then the world took it over. Are you getting my point? Coming out from amongst them and being separate is to go back to the real spiritual foundation. Do you get my point? You start having a different mindset. And let me tell you, I said something last week, that it would not be temptation if it was not tempting. The thing that's not tempting wouldn't be a temptation. That's what the Bible actually calls renewing your mind. Let's read that. I want to close with that. I just realized that my time has really gone. Romans chapter 12. It says, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, please, let me explain this again. I want to close with it. We'll continue developing. This is a long story we have to tell on this particular matter. We have to talk to ourselves and realize that if we are going to step into great things as we have prophesied, It is not by struggling. Let me tell you something about Christianity. I've said it again and again. It is not about struggles. Actually, it's about what? Rest. It's just that you labor to enter into rest. Let me say this before I close. There is nothing you can ever imagine that God has not already done, prepared, it's waiting to manifest. One. And anything you can imagine that can happen or that you will do or you will, God will do through you, God has already done beyond that and is waiting to manifest. Did you hear what I said? You know what God is waiting for? He's waiting for you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That you will get to a point, listen to me, you will get to this point that all you have to do, all right, is wait and God will move you to the place he wants you to be. I don't know whether you are getting my point. Let me say it again. There is nothing that you can ever imagine that God has not already done. Whatever it is that I will become, God has prepared it. There are a few things he's waiting for, a few things. God said, I am waiting until you have been transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is why the race, the job of the Christian is not to jump up and down. You want to be a business, you want to make money. It's not to run up and down. It's to go look for a corner where you can settle regularly. Do you follow my point? And don't forget our spiritual, economic, empowerment, and development strategies. I must do that thing. Because, oh, listen, there is nobody, listen to me, who will listen to the things I will teach for those days, believe them. I'm not saying act upon them. Forget about acting upon them. Just believe them. There's none that is called into the realm of wealth and business that will not be a billionaire. There's not one. See, they fear to say amen. Hey, listen to me. Listen to me. This is how God does things. He prepares what he wants to do. I told you before that when God said, let there be light, he didn't speak English. You know that. There was no English that time. What did he do? The Bible said the Spirit of God was moving upon the surface of the waters. He was cooking up images, ideas, plans. What plants do we put here? What animals do we put here? How do we want the seas to be? How do we want the mountains to be? He was cooking up everything. Then once it was fully cooked, the Bible said, then God, and there was. Didn't speak any language. He just uttered the spirit that was manufactured inside him, which was a summary of the whole picture in his mind. What am I saying? When it came to your life, and mine and our nation, God wrote long ago and he has shown people what he's doing. Listen, now this is what happens. The same thing is happening now. This time around I'm speaking in English. But it's not the language. Jesus said, this flesh profits nothing. It's the spirit that gives life. He said, the words that I speak, they carry a spiritual substance. Are you getting my point? They carry a spiritual substance that imparts life wherever they go. What am I saying? I am not saying you will prosper. I'm saying if you hear me, you don't have a choice anymore. When God said, light be, could life refuse to be? Light refuse to be. The mistake you made was in believing. Once you believed, it's too late. Oh God, I wish you would get my point. That is the things you have never imagined. The things you have never dreamt about. Things that God will not show you lest you become afraid. You know, there are things that God goes, if I show this one, he will get, his head will break. Let's leave him for now. One day to be manifested in your life. They ask David, why are you dancing so stupidly and so nakedly? He says, it's not my fault. When I realized where I was, and here am I have no choice but to dance. There are things I never conceived I would get here. You know, I've said this to you before when I was teaching some time ago. I said, when we pray sometimes, have a vision, have a focus. I said, listen, this is what God does. He gives somebody money. He said, here is a mina. My Bible says, occupy or do business till I come. What are you supposed to do? Have a vision for that money. Amen? He said, my master has given me 100,000 naira. We have a vision for this money, how we are going to do it. We are going to use it to do this. We are going to manufacture it, then we'll sell it. Over the next few years, the money should become like this. Then we'll employ this. Then one day the master comes back after a few years and says, where's the 100,000 naira I gave you? He says, sir, here is our bank balance. It's 500,000. Here's the accountant statement of all our assets, the things that we have acquired. You show him, this is the stock market value of the, you put everything together. He says, sir, we try small, it's worth only about 10.5 million. The master said, very good. I just conquered Liberia. You will be the governor. I don't know whether you get the point. That was what happened. Did you dream of Liberia? No. When you were dreaming, having ideas and exercising yourself, you were trying to multiply 100,000. So that the master will be pleased when he comes back. Then when he looked, I said, this guy is a good guy. Put him in charge of 10 cities. That was what he said. That is where God is really taking you to. Boy, you have never dreamt about it. It is impossible. He didn't give you the capacity to dream it. I don't know whether you are getting my point. All the energy that David had was to preserve his sheep. That's what he used it for. Play music, preserve sheep. Play music, preserve sheep. Sheep. That was all. This sheep, you don't want to increase it. Wait, let me sing for you. When I finish singing, all of you go born 10-10. Then he will praise God and play. They go begin born. Very good. Then one goat of a lion will carry one. David will throw down the harp. I said, no, I know how much I prayed before this sheep was born. It will push up. Give me my sheep. Give me my sheep. And the lion will turn. He said, oh boy, I have to defend myself. I was just defending myself. Turned on the lion and smoked the lion. Why? Fighting for one sheep. God looked at him and said, this guy is a true shepherd. Do you get my point? This one is a true shepherd. Because he's a true shepherd, I'll make him a king in Israel. David never prayed to be king. He never planned to be king. He never imagined he would be king. He was just using all the energy God gave him on his sheep. Do you get my point? That's what I'm trying to say. That when I finish teaching, now listen, this is what will happen to you. You will suddenly become diligent in that which God gave you for you to see. You will use all the divine principles. One of the greatest testimonies I heard in recent times was when Chike said, Pastor Banky taught me the principles of kingdom business. So now we run a business of giving when everybody is doing get all you can and can all you get. I said, amen. In Jesus' name, for that testimony, you will prosper some more. Now, I'm serious about it. Listen, let me say it to you again. For what God has given you, use all the principles he has given you. But just know that that one is just a testing point to decide where exactly it will put you. There are those who are teaching nursery school today. God said, it's only you that can run a university that will turn out Christian businessmen. Honestly, I mean people who are really doing business as a ministry. Teach nursery school very well. Don't stop teaching nursery school. I am going to send all the difficult children into your class. Sweat over them. Listen to me, I'm not increasing your salary. So get the point very clear. But just keep teaching. Then one day the same fellow will look back. You buy a magazine one day. It's been found out that the most business people that run the most successful businesses in the world, they list about 50 of them. And you find out that 40 went to the schools that you run. So there's one we have in Liberia. We have another one in Malawi. There's one we opened last time in India. And you say, was I not? The one that they will start music. You start dancing. You dance, you tear your cloth. This old guy, what is the problem? So I just remember that all I used to do was teach nursery school. But now I teach world rulers. Do you get my point? That's what God is. That's what we are saying. Listen, those things were planned before you were born. They were planned before you were born. Are you getting my point? And how would they become manifested? That's what I'm saying. Once the word goes forth, he says, light be, prosperity be, success be. The mistake you made was to be present and be believing. Do you follow my point? Because most certainly it will come to pass. It's not about struggle. Most certainly it's not about struggle. What is God saying? He said, come out from amongst them and be separate. Reject their ways of doing things. No matter how much it seemed to profit them, reject it.
No matter how much. Remember what we said when we're talking about walking in divine authority. There is a power I want to place in your hands. He said, come out from amongst them. Come, O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. We know the way the other people have walked have profited them. We have been filled with influences from the east and we have become soothsayers like Philistines. God said, wait. Oh boy, the day is coming when I will distinguish between those that serve God and those that did not serve him. He said, that day is coming in which I will judge everything that is exalted, that is lifted. All the cedars of Lebanon, I will bring them down. Anything that I did not make grow, I'm going to crumble it. If you want to prosper and endure, he said, what is the message? Come out from amongst them and be separate. And I will be a father unto you. Are you getting my point? I hope you've learned something today.